Then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
This is Exploring Missions, and we're excited today about us being together with friends that we've known for a day.
Yeah.
Is that right, Nathan?
Just about.
You know, it's amazing how fast Christians can become friends.
That's right. We're part of God's family. No matter where our country of origin or our heart language, whatever we might look like on the outside, Jesus loves us. He died for us. He brought us to life. And we can share that love for one another. And it's great when you meet someone and there's a connection there.
One of the greatest things about being a part of a National Religious Broadcasters meeting that we have every year is meeting new people. And Nathan and I, we get to go around the exhibition hall and see the different people. And we came across these the other day, and Nathan and I both said, we've got to talk to them.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's exciting, isn't it?
It is. And just, I don't know if this is sounds good to say or not, but if you've had this experience, you'll know exactly what I mean. When you meet some young people, especially young people from Korea, there's some excitement. And there's something about our Korean brothers and sisters who love Jesus and that are living on mission. We need to learn from them and gain their passion, their energy, and their commitment to be obedient to the Great Commission no matter the cost. There are Korean missionaries all over the world today, and they are making a difference in the kingdom. And we're grateful to have some brothers and sisters from there with us today.
Okay, Nathan, it's your job to introduce them, okay? Or we may let them introduce themselves if we get it wrong.
All right, so these guys are with a project called Living Sacrifice. And so we have in the studio with us Yerim, Sam, and Sarah. Welcome, guys.
Hello, thank you for having us.
Yes. We are excited about being here with you, and thank you for coming. And we've got others who are around, but we could not get all of them on the microphone. So they selected themselves, right?
That's right.
They volunteered. So welcome. Let's tell Living Sacrifice, but that's the banner for two ministries. Tell us about those ministries.
We're here to represent two teams from Seoul, South Korea, the VIP Media and Light Onto the Nations Ministry. We're united under the vision for not only raising awareness on North Korea, but also to do this through media such as film, documentary, animation, and such. We're here at NRB this year operating a booth with the theme Living Sacrifice, derived from Romans chapter 12. But we want to challenge the visitors and audience to live their lives as daily sacrifice. That's a no-brainer, but also to highlight the North Korean defectors who go through the extent of risking their lives to follow Jesus, also to devote completely to sharing the gospel to their fellow North Koreans by becoming pastors and missionaries themselves, even going into North Korea to do so. And we run projects and ministry to serve the North Korean defectors and more, such from the heart to do this not as much from a humanitarian perspective, but from a kingdom perspective. And this is to live out our calling to go to the ends of the earth by praying for a gospel-led reunification of the two Koreas.
South and North Korea. Wouldn't that be amazing? Yeah. We saw that in our lifetime with Germany, and I was amazed. I never thought I'd see it. So wouldn't that be awesome to see that? Got another ministry that's under Living Sacrifice. Sam? Tell us.
So we are Light Unto the Nations, and to put it simply, our ministry is about training North Koreans, equipping them with the word. They are, you know how they are brainwashed with the communist ideology and the Juche ideology. That's the ideology that Kim Il-sung created. And, you know, there's all these North Korean ministries out there and ministries before us that existed for a long time. But what they did was they sent food, clothes, Bibles to North Korea and to these defectors. But, you know, that wasn't enough to take care of that, you know, change their ideologies. You know, they still believe in the communist ideology. And so what we do is not only take care of them, you know, feed them, protect them, but we help them believe in Jesus by having this Bible reading school where they read the Bible 100 times in 1 year.
Okay. Nathan, I got to stop there.
Yeah.
We're challenging our people on the other program that I do, Exploring the Word, to read the Bible through in 1 year.
One time in 1 year.
Okay. Sam? Mm-hmm. Give us those numbers again. I want everybody to listen to this. How many times they read the scriptures?
The Bible from start to finish, 100 times exactly.
And they do cannot stop in Leviticus, can they?
No, they cannot. They cannot graduate if they stop there.
Okay, okay. Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about you, and we want to know your stories as well, if you don't mind.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. So we're here with the Living Sacrifice, and I don't know, they did introduce pretty much everything, but as Sam was mentioning, the Light into the Nations ministry, we recently also were connected with this ministry and how powerful their works are in transforming people. The Word of God is living, as it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it's living and it breaks through our bones and like our marrows, it says in the scripture. And that's how the Word of actually worked in the North Korean defectors. So when they read the Bible 100 times, they weren't themselves anymore. They weren't indoctrinated anymore. Nothing else could change them. Even if they had all the money, even if they had all the resources, nothing could change them except the Word of God that actually went into their lives and changed them. And these people, when they were educated like this, they were determined to give their lives. They ran out for survival, right? For their mere survival. But now they're willing to give their lives and willing to go back into the country that were trying to kill them and capture them.
Wait just a minute. Mm-hmm. I got to stop you.
Yeah, sure.
Did you hear what I heard, Nathan?
I think so.
They defect, they get trained, and they do
return.
What?
They return, giving their lives. And we brought so many stories of people who actually did give their lives and were martyred in North Korea for this purpose. And the pastor who runs this ministry continues to do this. And the ministers and the pastors that we've interviewed and met are determined to enter into North Korea the day Koreas are unified. They're determined, I'm going to pack up with my family and move into North Korea that day.
So for it to be unified, communism's got to fall.
Yes, and for unification to happen, it shouldn't just be a mere unification, but it should be a gospel-led unification. But this is really hard in the situation of Korea right now. Even in South Korea, South Koreans don't want unification anymore. They want themselves just to live well, like to live, you know, wealthy. But you see in the situation of North Korea, if we're unified right now, they think, oh, then we're not going to be wealthy anymore. Those people are poor. We're so different from them now. Like, what's the point? But if we look at the souls there, like, we can't stop. Like, we can't think about them. And we have families, well, that are in North Korea as well. So that's what we're praying for. And there was a revival, which is the next theme that we do also want to talk about. There was a revival that happened in North Korea specifically in the 1900s.
Let's jump into that. But I just want to ask just on a personal level, and then we'll come back to that. Because we definitely, you're talking to two people who love church history. We feel like a lot of our listeners probably will too, but just on a personal level, and this could be for any of you, Yerim, you can continue, or Sam or Sarah. It sounds like you're saying you have a desire, a deep desire for reunification between North and South Korea, but that does not come from a political concern for you. It's a personal concern, but that is spiritual, that is spirit led. How did you get this concern? How did you have this desire or passion?
Sarah, you go first. Without volunteers, I appoint.
I mean, I think I do have to kind of humble myself to say that it hasn't come to me on a deep personal level yet. and that's what I'm praying for. But I think where we communally meet is that God calls us to the ends of the earth, and for us South Koreans, that's North Korea.
Wow.
It's the border that's stopping us right in between. It's militarized right now, but you know, that's our brothers and sisters are there. We just can't cross that border. And this kind of leads on to the entire like Kingdom of God story, in terms of we see this as like, we call it the Silk Road of the Gospel.
Yes.
That geographically you see South Korea to North Korea to China to Eurasia to Islam and then to Israel. That like connection over there. It seems very, I don't know, it feels very out of touch, but also very so personal and so deeply ingrained into our history, family history as well. I have my grandparents were originally living in the areas that's now North Korea,
okay.
But they can't go back there. And I think we all share that parts of the stories.
Is the language the same still?
The language is the same, but they have dialects.
Okay.
You know,
well, we have that in America
yeah,
now.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got
yeah, you're getting to hear a distinct dialect
true
right
Southern
now.
Southern accent yes. Right here. Well, Sam, when you hear about a spiritual awakening that could take place that would bring it about, there's some history that has taken place, as I understand. And so the people that we're surrounded with in this room, Nathan, are young people.
Yeah.
Is that where it's coming from more than, or is it all ages that's desiring this spiritual awakening?
In South Korea.
Yes.
You know, I think this is the South Korean churches. I don't think they have a strong yearning for a spiritual awakening, unfortunately. But there are some people that have that yearning. And me personally, you know, for not just for a spiritual awakening, but for the reunification of North Korea, unified Korea. Like, I didn't receive that vision myself personally from God, but our the Light Unto the Nations representative, missionary Choi Kwang, who started all this ministry, he received that vision from God that North Korea is important and that they are the key to start a chain of spiritual awakenings. And so he had that vision and he basically shared those visions with us. And so I heard that and I said, well, if God says North Korea is important, then it's important for me too.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Usually it starts, let me just share with you, when you look at the Bible, it usually starts with one person.
Yeah,
that's right. It doesn't start with a group. It starts with one. God called Moses out, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
God called Abraham out. And God called the Apostle Paul on the road.
Right.
One person, Nathan. That's not unusual, is it?
No, it's not unusual, and it's also common. And I think we can say we have seen this in Korea and the church there, definitely in the past. But probably, I would dare say, for a lot of our young people and our friends here gathered with us, it spreads to the group. The vision from one person spreads to the group quickly through prayer. Through dedicated prayer. If you want to learn how to pray, talk to a Korean brother and sister. They can model that for you. They can teach it for you. I have a lot to learn still in that area. But it's very humbling and it's very convicting to just hear how people can seek the Lord in prayer, in dedication to that. We didn't get to finish with the history of things. Yerim, you were going to tell us something that happened a few years ago, maybe many years ago. In Korea, can you continue that?
Of course. And since you guys said you guys are well knowledgeable about church history, you guys have to fill me on because I'm not an expert in this area, honestly. Okay, so to start, I think we could date back to the Pentecost of how Jesus gave the Great Commission to his disciples and how they went out to parts of Asia Minor and Europe during that time to evangelize. So what I realized learning about this is that revival doesn't end in yourself. If you receive the Holy Spirit, he doesn't let you stop in there. He makes you go out to the next person, to the next person.
Yes.
And that is how I think the history of revival is all connected. And then we flick go back, and I mean, go further in time to the 16th century Reformation of Martin Luther and how that spread out to America and influenced Moody and his great revivals. I think that was the start of the revival, which happens later on in the 20th century in Korea, because people, when they were changed with the according to the word of God, they decided that they wanted to devote themselves for evangelism. And a lot of people who received that heart during the Moody revival were also people that went into Korea when Korea was had no knowledge about the gospel, and they were very foreign against foreigners and all foreign cultures and religions. And then the Moody revival doesn't end there, and then it goes on to the Welsh revival, as we well know, in the 1904.
Evan Roberts.
Yes, Evan Roberts. Yeah. He's the person. And the Welsh revival also moves on through the form of media. I heard that he wrote the news of Welsh revivals were written in newspapers, and that went on to Azusa Street revival in California. Yes. And during that time, throughout these revivals, was when revival also happened in Korea. Korean missionaries and American missionaries, particularly that were in Korea, heard about these revivals, and they participated themselves in revivals, and they were like, we also need a revival. So that's when the church, there's a church called Changdaehyun Church in Pyongyang, which is located in the capital of North Korea currently, Pyongyang. And it was a church where there was a North Korean, not a North Korean, American missionary, and a South Korean pastor. His name was Kil Sun-ju. And when they started praying for a revival, it didn't happen through anything else, but it happened starting from repentance. When Pastor Kil Sun-ju started repenting of his personal sins and his wrongdoings, that's when the Holy Spirit started working not only in him, but throughout the whole church. And all of the church members, one by one, started repenting of their sins, what they did wrong, what they stole from their neighbors, what they lied, sexual immorality, all of these things. And that not only just affected the church, but it changed the town. Because, you know, these people were always drunk. These people had no life. They had no hope. 3 years after this revival, Korea was taken over by Japan. So you know how we know how hopeless Korea was during this time. But that's how the whole city of Pyongyang changed. Not only just one person or just a church, but the whole community was now, through the gospel, through God and the Holy Spirit working in the town, everyone was reformed. And that's how alive Korea was and North Korea was during that time. Especially, this is now the capital of North Korea, so we see how much of a center that was. But after Korea was taken over by Japan, Korea was liberated in 1945. But in 1950, the Korean War happens. The country is divided into two, can't go over the borders. And where Changdaehyun Church was, currently the church was demolished. And there it stands, Kim Il-sung and Kim Jong-il, the two Kim families' statues. The huge statue stands at the place of the church currently. So we see how desolated that land is and how they have no freedom of religion, no freedom of rights, no freedom of speech. If they are caught even possessing or knowing these words, they're sent not only in just like a regular jail, but to political prison camps where they probably die out in a year, or they're sent to execution. That's the only fate they have in front of them.
I want to give hope here. I had the privilege of going to Poland a few years ago, and in one of those communities that we went to was just organized, built with a communism thought in mind, and at the center they put a statue of Stalin. And now, because they've been liberated, that statue of Stalin has been pulled down, and a cross stands in that very place, right the opposite of what you were talking about.
Amen.
About God and how he works. And it is the power of God that can do that.
Amen.
Now, I want to, we may go back and forth with some of this conversation, but I want to talk about those defectors and them coming. How do they do that? Do they go across the demilitarized zone, or do they have to go to a country and then come back in? Which one of you guys could tell us a little bit about it without giving up secrets? Now, I don't want to do that.
Right.
How does that happen?
So I'm not an expert myself, but I know a few, you know, things. And basically, the demilitarized zone is hopeless. If you go there, it's basically impossible to defect. And the easiest way and the most frequented way that North Koreans use is through China. They defect through the mountains, the borders, through China, and then they go to, I think it was, what's the country right
Mongolia?
Below China?
No.
Mongolia?
Yeah, so once you arrive in China, some people try the Mongolian route, uh-huh. but that's also nearly impossible.
Yeah, it's very mountainous, the terrain.
Right, the desert is huge, yes, you're basically just stranded there with no food and water. So most people stay in China, just decide to live there while, avoiding the authorities, just hiding out here and there, just living secret lives. Under different identities. Yeah, right. And some people, muster up the courage to go to South Korea by going to Nepal and
Myanmar?
Myanmar, Thailand, those places, crossing the rivers there.
Okay.
Through brokers.
Are they ultimately trying to get to South Korea, or are they just escaping North Korea? Or is it
they're trying to get to South Korea. You need to get to the South Korean embassy, right?
Okay.
So you need to get to the South Korean embassy, and when you get there, once they come to South Korea, they can get a South Korean ID, and that you are like South Korean officially. So I believe that it's their goal to get to a South Korean embassy.
So South Korea can offer protection.
Yes,
right.
That's correct.
Okay, is this when the ministry finds them and helps them to begin the transition from communism into the freedom that they have, and where you guys step in?
So the Light Onto the Nations has been doing the North Korean missions for almost two decades now.
Okay.
And the early ministry that we did was, so these defectors are going into China, right? So the missionary went to China, and he found these defectors, some were on the run, some were working in the factories as illegal immigrants, some were just on the streets. He found these defectors. He persuaded them to follow him because he would feed them and also give them protection, right? Give them a place to live. And so he took these people in, rented an apartment, and then held a Bible reading school. And that's where he made these guys read the Bible 100 times in a year.
Okay.
And he promised them that if you do this for a year, I will feed you throughout the whole time. And once you do that, you can go into South Korea or do whatever you want, right? But then, so at first, these guys are like, okay, free food, great, and protection, why not? So they try the Bible thing out, and at first they're like, oh, I don't get it. This, God, it doesn't make any sense. Why do people believe in this? But as they continue to read the Bible, the word gets into them, and then it starts working inside them, and so, As the course comes to an end, they are eventually transformed, and they no longer want to just live. Their life purpose is not just about being safe, living free lives, but they want to live for Jesus now. So some decide to go back into North Korea because they want to deliver this good news to their own people. Some decide to come to South Korea where they go to
seminaries.
Yeah, seminaries to become pastors and ministers so that they can spread the good news to more North Koreans in South Korea.
Awesome. So the idea of living sacrifice is about those who, in the past but also presently, one, are followers of Jesus in North Korea and paying the ultimate price for following him, but also those that would go back into North Korea to proclaim the gospel and to share his good news in the middle of almost certain martyrdom. And that's what you guys are here to share about their sacrifice and about their work. Can you tell us a website or how our listeners can connect with what you're doing?
Yeah, you can find more info on www.livingsacrifice.info, I-N-F-O. We have our joint missions up on there. And then we also have these booklets that we brought with us to NRB, but these are available as PDFs there too.
Okay. So very good. So one of these PDF or printed versions of these booklets, the one I'm looking at currently says, "Those Who Returned to North Korea." I mean, it's a focus on individuals who gave their lives for Christ in doing just that.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you go to livingsacrifice.info, you can read about that and find more information. And there was also, One of you here helped produce a film also related to this. Can you share about that?
Yeah, of course. So the film that we're talking about is a short film titled A Drop of Water. And this short film was entirely scripted and acted by elementary school kids. And it tells the story of North Korean missionaries going into North Korea to spread the gospel, to evangelize, and eventually martyred. And this is, it's just a 15-minute long film that the kids kind of playfully scripted together, and the adults were like, oh, maybe we can put this on video and shoot a film or make a film out of it. It was just a really short, fun project. Eventually, we tried submitting this to various Christian film festivals in the States and had somehow, by the grace of God, won several awards in categories such as Best Persecution Film, Best Student Film, Best Short Film, and such. We were actually here last year at NRB as the film was nominated under the Best Student Film category at ICBM Awards. And we're currently in the process of developing this short film into a documentary telling the story of how this film was made. I think when we screened this film in the States, a lot of the American audience was very, very inspired by the story of martyrdom, how these kids, like 10 years old and such, could tell the story of North Korea, how have that heart to do so, and also to the extent of telling the story of martyrdom, being devoting their lives and giving their lives for Christ.
So the film is called A Drop of Water, and you can see that at adropofwatermovie.com. We want to invite you to do that. Real quickly, we only have just a few seconds. How can our listeners, maybe one or two important prayer points, how can we be praying for you and God, what God is doing in South Korea, in North Korea? How can we be praying?
I think one of the prayers that we have for our time here at NRB and meeting with the audience here is that not only raising awareness, but also to challenge them to be able to give their lives as living sacrifice, but also to understand the weight of that, that these individuals from North Korea and North Korean defectors are living through daily. And we're in the process of meeting with various storytellers here based in the U.S. to kind of develop this into different films or videos to kind of continue to spread that story.
Well, it's definitely a story that's worth following and praying about, and it's real life for so many of our brothers and sisters. Thank you so much for being with us today. Thank you for listening to Exploring Missions.